1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you've received and in which you stand. I want to read that again. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received. Now say this last part. In which you stand. Say that out loud. In which you stand. I stand in the gospel. Say that to the person next to you. Look right at them. The only reason I stand in this life is because of the gospel. That's it. Paul said, I received it and I preached it to you, and in this gospel you now stand. Then he goes on, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for what? Did he die as a martyr? Hello? Did he die because he made people mad? He had enemies? Hello? He died for sin. Somebody ask you, why did Jesus die? You say one word, me. Hello? Why did Jesus die? Say it.
Me.
Sin. He died in my place, my substitute. Then this goes on and says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I was watching the news the other night, and they were walking around and they were asking people what was really celebrated on Easter. Grown adults on the street could not answer the question. This is how the church has failed. The church has failed miserably. I don't blame the world. I don't blame politicians. I don't blame the news. I don't blame the school system. I blame the church for people not knowing what Easter is. Who else is going to tell them? Who? It's either we're going to tell the world what it's all about, or they're not going to know. I blame the church. Jesus died for sin. That's me. This thing going on right now that we see in the world where no one knows anything about Jesus or the resurrection, that's on me too. And that's on you. Right? I heard kind of a cute illustration of this from one of our Sunday school teachers. I think it was Joe DiMaggio. He asked the question, he said, I want one of you children to tell me what Easter means. What happened at Easter? And one of them said, isn't that where we get a tree and you put presents under it and everyone opens it? He said, no, that's Christmas. And then who else? And someone else raised their hand and said, Joe said, okay, go ahead. And they said, isn't that where you have picnics and fireworks and all that? And Joe said, no, that's Independence Day. And then finally, one of the students said, isn't that where Jesus died for our sins? And Joe said, thank the Lord. He said, what else? And he said to him, he said, well, he was buried, and 3 days later he came out of a cave, saw his shadow, and went back inside, and there were 6 more weeks of winter.
Wow.
This is the problem. The church needs to teach the gospel. Amen? The church needs to do a better job of teaching the gospel. But anyway, he was buried and on the third day rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, when you read according to the Scriptures, what do you think that is really saying? What Scriptures? Okay, what's he really saying? This was what?
Predicted.
This was predicted in the Old Testament. You can read Psalm, 16, for example. throughout the Psalms and Isaiah and other places that he would rise again. It's predicted. So Jesus came, and he lived his life on the earth, and then he was crucified. It says here, he was seen by Cephas and of the 12, and by over 500 brethren at once. This is after he rose from the dead. So people say, well, did he rise from the dead, have a quick bite to eat with the disciples, and then ascend? No. He was around. How many know how long he was around after he rose from the dead? How many days? 40 days the resurrected Christ walked the earth. Resurrected. Resurrected. 40 days. He was around for 40 days, resurrected. This is astonishing. And it says he showed himself to people. He didn't hide. He didn't hide out somewhere. He was seen by Cephas, that's Peter. The 12, that's the other, or the whole group of them together. And then it says, and he was seen by over 500 at once. Now, this is an important part of the verse, verse 6. Look at verse 6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. This is important. This is what I want to talk about right now. As Paul was writing this, there were still eyewitnesses alive that it happened, that he appeared. People say the Bible, well, can you really trust the Bible? As a document, as a historical document, and this really as a report, as a testimony to what happened, this is an incredible piece of information. That means that Paul was writing this and publishing it to the church in Corinth, and there were people all over the place who could testify that it was true, that Jesus rose from the dead and he was alive. That's why you don't see any time or any writers when Paul was alive or when these people were alive denying that Jesus rose from the dead. You see no credible testimony that he died and didn't rise, because there were so many witnesses. There were so many people that saw it, and he stuck around for 40 days. The resurrection is not just this, okay, rose, yeah, then we move on with our lives. The resurrection, Jesus spent 40, say it with me, 40 days. Now, you know what I love about 40 days? Because 40 days is a long time. Now, I'm going to preach today for 40 days. And this Bible says Jesus fasted for how long? Right? What other 40-day events were there? Anybody else any 40 days? 40 days was rained. And then, but he was stuck in the ark longer than that, wasn't he? But it rained for 40 days. How many years was Israel wandering around in the wilderness? 40 days. 40 days? 40 years. 40. 40 is a number of difficulty. 40 is a number of trouble. 40 is a number of pain. But then Jesus is around, alive. How long is he on the earth walking around? 40 days. What's that tell me about trouble? There's hope. What does that tell me? He overcomes every moment of our difficulty in the resurrection. Every moment of those 40 days of your pain, 40 days of your sorrow, 40 days of your fear, 40 days of your uncertainty. Here's Jesus just going to stick around 40 days. He's not in a hurry to go back. He's not in a hurry to ascend. He's going to stay there right there and demonstrate he has overcome death and difficulty and pain. And Jesus Christ did it and was alive 40 days, and there were witnesses that saw it. Hello? Isn't that cool? 40 days. Get this. The only thing you walk away with today is that he stuck around after he rose from the dead for how long? 40 days. Most people don't realize that, or they've read it, but they don't think about it. Think about it for a minute. Think about it. You're one of the people in Jerusalem, and you were watching from kind of a distance. You see this poor guy. He's got this cross beam tied to his shoulder. He's kind of on his shoulders, and he's walking up these hills and through the streets. Everyone is mocking him and spitting at him and calling him names. And there were friends there. There were people there that loved him, and there were people there that hated him. There were people that were just curious there, and there were people that were working with the Pharisees that wanted to see him dead. And they were all along that journey. They were all on that road. We talked about this Wednesday night. There are people on your road right now that love you, and there are people that don't like you. How many would say that's true? I have people in my life that I know this is hard for you to believe. There are some people that don't actually like me. I was surprised to hear this myself. There are people that don't like me. There are some people rather see me leave town. There are some people rather see you leave town. There are some people that just don't like you. But there are people that love you. There are people that would support you and pray for you and care for you and will help you. And there's even guys like Simon, the Cyrene, who come up and he'll help you carry your cross beam. Remember him? How many remember Simon? There are people that will help you with your burden. That's the story of our life. But then, you know, we always think the story of our life ends. Yeah, we die. You live our life, go through this journey. Somebody said, you're born, you work, and you die. I heard somebody say that once. I was caddying for him when I was a kid. He said, you know, I don't know what the meaning of life is, Jerry. I said, what's that? He said, you're born, you work, and you die. And I thought to myself, oh, that's great. That's really, I just can't wait now. You know? But see what the resurrection tells me. There's more to it than that. Amen? There's a lot more to it than that. So here he is, and he is showing himself to all these people. But then he says one last thing that's really cool. It says, after that he was seen by James and all the apostles. And then he says the next verse, and last of all he was seen by me. Paul puts himself at the end. He says, and then there's me. God showed himself to everybody, and even showed himself to me. I read this last night, I just broke. So he even shows himself to me. He did all these magnificent things and showed himself, and then he showed me. He didn't leave me out. God is not going to leave you out. That's our hope. That's what the resurrection tells me. God didn't forget you. God hasn't forgotten you. God is not going to leave you out of anything. And Paul uses a word that's actually kind of disturbing. It's really disturbing. I didn't like it when I read it. I was kind of taken aback by it. I thought, this is a strange word. He says, as one born out of due time. That word literally means as one born dead. It's the same word, and you can look it up. The Strong's calls it an abortion. Paul was literally, he's saying, the value of my life as an apostle, I consider myself, I was born, but I was stillborn. And he's not saying that anything, that that's his spiritual condition. He's saying in comparison to the others that were born with life under Christ, I was born. And then he says, I am the least of the apostles, verse 9. I'm the least of the apostles. But I want you to think with me this morning as we close here. The least of the apostles had the most to say of the apostles. The least of the apostles taught the church the most. You might say, I'm the least of my family. I'm the least in the church. I'm the least at work. I feel like I'm the least of everything sometimes. And believe me, I feel that way too. But see, the resurrection tells me that God can take the least and do the most. Because it has very little to do with us. It has everything to do with what God has decided to do. There's one verse I want you to read with me in Acts chapter 2. Peter, of all people, the doubter, the hider, the betrayer, Peter, the stubborn one, the strong one, the weak one, and everything rolled up into one man, says, as he's preaching on the day of Pentecost in verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death. He was delivered by the predetermined counsel of God. He was delivered because that was the plan. He wasn't a martyr. He wasn't a victim. He went willingly, and it was part of the plan, and Jesus knew it and went there because of the joy set before him in Hebrews 12, and that was it. But then Peter says, verse 24, and this is the critical part, whom God raised up. Whom God raised up. Listen to me. Whom God raised up. I love it. I love it because every time there's a death, God raises something up. Every time there's a difficulty in our lives, God raises something up. Every time there's a loss, God brings a gain. Every time there's a pain, God brings a joy. There's joy after the mourning every single time. Why? Because of this resurrection. You know it. You've seen it in your own life. You lose a loved one and you find some gem in there somehow. And nothing would ever replace that loved one. But God brings a treasure in that time. Doesn't he? There's always some treasure. Sometimes there's a great loss. Sometimes there's a loss. Sometimes there's a major change in your life. God shows you this incredible treasure. There's riches in dark places because the tomb is empty. There's hidden treasures in difficulty because the tomb is empty. Because God overcomes everything and stuck around for 40 days to prove it. The next verse says this, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he could be held by it. It is not possible to hold you back. Listen to me. You're a child of God. Raise your hand, you're a child of God. Raise your hand, you're hid in Christ in God. Raise your hand. Raise your hand, you know that you're a believer. You're God's son. You're a child of God. Raise your hand up high. Put it up high. I'm a Christian. Raise your hand. Are you a Christian? Put your hand up in that. High. Higher. Stick your way up in the air. There you go. Guess what? It's not possible for you to be stopped. Because of the resurrection, the Bible says you're more than a conqueror. You can't be stopped. Hello? Somebody say hallelujah this morning.
Hallelujah.
You can't be hindered. You can't be rolled over. You can't be stopped. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't be stopped. Look at the person next to you. I can't be stopped. Try to stop me. Go ahead. Try to stop me. I dare you. Try to stop me. I dare you. You can't. It's impossible to stop a believer. Why? Because if God is for you, finish it.
Who can be against you?
Who can be against you? You are unstoppable because of the resurrection. You are absolutely unstoppable. You say, right now, I feel like I've been stopped dead in my tracks. Well, guess what? There's a resurrection day coming.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes I'm right in the middle of it, and there's pain, there's sorrow, there's tears, there's heartache, there's difficulty. But guess what? I can look forward, because 3 days are coming. You know, it may be Wednesday, but Saturday's coming. Right? Tony Campello had it wrong. He said, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. No, wrong. Bad mathematics. Jesus died on Wednesday, rose on Saturday evening. It's called Sunday. We celebrate on Sunday, first day of the week for the Jewish calendar, begins Saturday night. Don't start me going on this. But here's the thing. Right now, it may feel like Wednesday. You got nails in your hands. And right now, it may feel like, but I'll tell you what. Just breathe. Saturday's coming. Or for those struggling with understanding this, Sunday's coming. Resurrection's coming. Life is coming. There's a verse in Malachi that says, don't rejoice now, my enemies. I may be down right now, but I will arise. I will arise. Go ahead. Laugh. Go ahead. Mock. Go ahead. I dare you to try to stop me. Why? Because I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. You know, even the martyrs, even those that were martyred for their faith, why do you think they went, they said, God, take me. Why didn't they run, cry, scream, forsake their faith? What was that all about? They understood something that most of us don't get. They understood the resurrection. And not just as a, okay, when I die, I have hope later, you know, after the casket, you know, funeral's over, hey, I'm okay. That's great. And thank God for that. I'm not saying, I don't mean to come across like I think that's a small thing. I appreciate it. Make sure the Lord knows we appreciate it. Amen. But in this life, we have hope. Now, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're men most miserable, right? But we also have hope in this life. We also have a hope in this life. And the most incredible part of this is that things may not go exactly how we want them to go initially, but they always go the way we wish they would. They might not go the way we want in the immediate. But God always has something better. God always has a better plan. God always has a resurrection. And then he sticks around for 40 days and walks around and proves that he's right. Amen? He's bold. That's why when that stone was rolled away by that angel, what did the angel do? He sat on it. One of the greatest illustrations of holy cockiness you've ever seen. He rolls that stone away and then he sits on it. Crosses his arms. Yeah, what's up? The Italian angel would have said, forget about it. Right? Get right up on that stone, sitting on it. Then the women come. Where is he? He's not here. The Jesus you're looking for is not here. Weren't you paying attention? Didn't you read Psalm 16? Didn't you hear him say over and over and over, Matthew 16:21, Matthew 17:9, Matthew 17:22-23, Matthew 20:18-19, Matthew 26:32, Mark 9:10, John 2:18-22. Weren't you listening when he said, I'm going to rise. Take this temple down, I'll raise it in 3 days. The Son of Man's got to be delivered unto death, and then he's going to rise. He's not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking in a cemetery for someone who said he was going to rise again? What are you doing here? Why are you moping around? I want you to take a look today at that empty tomb in your mind. And then I want you to picture that angel sitting on that rock with his arms folded. And by the way, the word of God says it was rolled aside in one place. In another verse, it says it was lifted and carried a great distance off. It's not a contradiction. The angel rolled it and then carried it off a great distance from the tomb. That rock has no chance of rolling over that hole again. And the empty tomb was there, not for Jesus. We didn't need to. Why did he roll the rock away? So we could see it was empty. So Peter and John could run down there and go in there and look around. Where is he? Ah, he told us the truth. He rose. This is a big day. Isn't it a great day? Isn't it a marvelous truth? Aren't you excited today? This makes me happy to know. I can't be stopped. Paul, can't be stopped. Don't try it. Don't try to stop me. Can't be stopped. And you can't be stopped either. Can't stop these guys. Can't stop you ladies. Can't stop us. You know that song, Can't Touch This? Can't Stop This. All right. Father, we thank you for this morning. Can't stop this. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much. 40 days you hung around proving it. You just walked around in a resurrected body 40 days with this amazing glory, talking to people. And other people rose from the dead right along with you. This is incredible. I didn't even say this morning. The tombs that were emptied when you rose, all these people, Uncle Mortimer, Uncle Alfonso rises from the dead. The family sees him. Not only did Jesus rise, but a bunch of people rose along with him. That's our story. We rise with Jesus. Every time something happens and we come out the other side, we rise with Jesus. And we keep doing it over and over and over again and over again. That's our life. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.